Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the eStudy India Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Manyal from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello everyone. A very good morning to all. We thank the eID Parry's management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. On the call today, we have with us Mr. Suresh, Managing Director, Mr. Muthiah Murugappan, Whole-time Director, Mr. Suresh Kannan, Whole-time Director, Parry Refinery, Mr. Y. Venkatesh Rallu, CFO, Mr. Biswa Mohan Rath, Company Secretary. I hand over the call to eID Parry's management for the opening comments, followed by a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning all. It gives me pleasure to be part of this analyst call to share an update on the global and Indian scenario and explain the Q3 performance of the company. On the global scenario, the global sugar surplus projection for the sugar year 2023-24 is pegged at 6.32 million metric tons of raw value, which is 16% lesser than the previously estimated surplus. The drop in availability is attributable to production cuts in Thailand, Mexico, Guatemala, Australia, and the EU, partly offset by the increase in production at Brazil. Raw sugar futures have tumbled to $0.20 per pound during the last week of December, having reached historical heights of $0.28 per pound a month earlier. This is attributable to record high exports from Brazil, thanks to better crops and reduced congestion at the Brazilian ports. Latest reports from the Brazilian industry, UNICA, reveal a 23.5% increase in sugar output in the first 8 months of the current marketing year in comparison with the same period of last year. The increase in premium of sugar prices over ethanol at Brazil, incentivizing more crystallization, is rendering a bearish outlook to the global prices in the medium term. On the Indian scenario, with the drop in diversion of sugar to ethanol as per the latest estimates from ISMA, the sugar production for the sugar year 2023-24 is pegged at 315 lakh tons, with the consumption being plateauing at 275-280 lakh metric tons. The closing stock for the sugar year 2023-24 would be 75 lakh metric tons, which is 52% higher than the previous year closing stock. As may be known to you all, the government has put an embargo on using sugarcane juice syrup for producing ethanol for the ethanol sugar year 2023-24. While the oil marketing companies have increased the procurement price of ethanol from sea molasses, it is still not commensurate with the total production cost. Regarding the Q3 performance, the standalone revenue from operations for the quarter ended 31st December 2023 was rupees 668 crore, registering a decline of 8% as against 725 crore in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and taxes for the quarter ended was rupees 24 crore as against rupees 63 crore in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Standalone loss after tax for the quarter was rupees 14 crore as against the profit of 16 crore profit for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The standalone revenue from operations for the 9 months ended 31st December 2023 was rupees 2,092 crore as against rupees 2,088 crore in the corresponding period of previous year. Earnings before depreciation, interest, and taxes, and before exceptional items for the 9-month ended was rupees 140 crore against rupees 199 crore in the corresponding period of the previous year. Standalone profit after tax for the 9 months ended was rupees 27 crore as against rupees 114 crore in the corresponding period of previous year. The profit after tax for the 9 months ended includes an exceptional gain of rupees nil as against rupees 44 crore on account of sale of properties relating to Puducherry and Petavayathalai factories in the corresponding period of previous year. The operating performance of the sugar segment for the current Q3 has been lower as compared to the Q3 of the previous year on account of the reduction in export volume due to the restrictions imposed by the government, partially offset by the increase in domestic volume and realization. Cane crush for the quarter has been slightly lower than the corresponding quarter of the previous year, and the sugar recovery has marginally reduced due to the prevailing climatic conditions. Distillery profitability in the current quarter has been better on account of the volume benefits flowing from expansion and better realization. However, the full benefits of expansion have not flown in the quarter due to the change in the government policy on syrup ethanol as well as behavior ethanol. While the total blending in sugar year 2023 was around 12%, the policy decision of restricting the use of sugarcane juice or syrup is expected to adversely impact the EBP targets and consequently the performance of the distilleries and also their capacity utilization. The standalone nutraceutical segments has registered a loss during the current year on account of the continuing certification issues in Europe. With this, I would like to hand it over to Mr. Venkateshwarlu, our CFO, for the other details.
Thank you, Suresh and Muthu, and good morning to all participants. It is a great pleasure to be part of the analyst call and to share the key information of the operational and financial performance of the company. I would like to share with you the key operating parameters of each segment. So as far as the sugar operations is concerned, we have started the crushing operations in all the three states, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh. And in Tamil Nadu, we crushed about around 40 to 45 days during the quarter. And the Sankli in IAP and Karnataka, we crushed about around 60 to 65 days on an average. So I would like to share the quantitative details as under. So as far as the crushing is concerned, for the current quarter, 17.76 lakh metric ton we have crushed. So against the corresponding quarter of the previous year was 17.78 lakhs, very marginal decline. As far as the recovery is concerned, 10.14 for the current quarter compared to the previous corresponding quarter, it was 10.49. The recoveries dropped due to the climate conditions prevailing in South Tamil Nadu and rain impact in case of Karnataka, in Karnataka state. As far as production is concerned, we produced around 1.5 lakh metric tons during the quarter. Against the corresponding quarter of the previous year, it was 1.7 lakh metric tons. Cane cost. Overall, cane landed cost is 3,543 per metric ton, and last year corresponding period was 3,360. The increase only on account of FRB increase of the last year. Sales volume for the quarter three, we did a sales of around 1.1 lakh metric tons. This is purely from the domestic. And the previous year it was 1.38 lakh metric tons. The composition of 1.38 lakh metric ton was 90,000, about 90,000 was domestic and 49,000 was from exports. Average selling price was about 38.71 rupees for the current quarter, whereas the same was, it was 36.19 rupees in the previous corresponding previous quarter. We carry about 1.4 lakh metric tons of sugar as on December 23. Revenue from sugar. Revenue was 449 crores in current quarter against corresponding period previous year was 536 crores. Registered a decline of 16% on account of export restrictions imposed by the government, partly offset by increase in domestic sales and prices. All FRPs paid on time. As far as the cogen operations is concerned, we generated around 1,366 lakhs units against previous year was 1,341 lakhs units. We exported about 677 lakhs units, previous year which was 675 lakhs units. The average tariff is increased is at 4.91 rupees per unit against the previous year 4.42 rupees. Revenue from cogen segment is 60 crores current quarter, and the same it was 56 crores in the previous year quarter. As far as the distillery operation is concerned, we sold current quarter around 2.73 crores liters against the previous period 2.25 crores liters. The composition of total alcohol, say 2.73 crores, consists of ENA is 1.22 crores and ethanol is 1.51 crores. So price realization. Current quarter, the average price realization is 62.82 per liter. Previous period, it was 61.11 rupees. As far as the revenue is concerned, current quarter 177 crores compared to previous period 141 crores. As far as the neutral is concerned, Our turnover from Indian operations were about 8 crores against 14 crores in the previous year. At the consolidated level, the Nutra business turnover is 47 crores against corresponding previous year, which was 62 crores. So, as far as the refinery operations is concerned, operational revenue for the quarter is 1,597 crores against Q3 of 2022-23 about 945 crores. So, profit before tax for the current quarter is 7 crores against loss of 54 crores in the Q3-23. So, refined sugar production for the current quarter 1.96 lakh metric tons. So, Q3-22-23, it was 2.27 lakh metric tons. As far as the sugar sales, refined sales is concerned, for the current quarter, it is 2.76 lakh metric tons. Against December 22, it was around 2.37 lakh metric tons. So, as far as the long-term loans is concerned, it's 200 crores, which is due to EAD, that's the outstanding. As far as the short-term loans for the current quarter, is zero. Against previous year, it was 746 crores. Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Sanjay?
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Gautam Dedia from Nalanda Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you give me the data for your branded sugar volume and average realization for the quarter?
Gautam, hi. Good morning. The retail sale is about 34,000 tons. This is up from 25,000 last year, same quarter. So that's it's a good growth. Also, in terms of the overall sales of 1.1, this is about 31% odd. So last year's trends were about 27%. This year it's about 31% odd. In terms of the premiums over the trade price, our realizations are about two rupees thirty paise higher than what you're getting on trade price.
Okay. And just another question on the refinery. So I think two quarters back we were looking at some strategic partnerships. Any update on that?
Gautam, there's no further updates to be shared at this point in time.
Okay. And similarly on the Nutra part, we were looking at some restructuring. So is there any update on that as well?
Same response. No further update at this point in time to be shared.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Vikram Kotak from Ace Lansdowne Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, AID Management. I have a question on the, you know, the new staple range which you launched in Tamil Nadu. So just want to understand how the initial response. That's question one. And second, are you trying to launch in more south states? If there, then by when? And third, little bit of, you know, your long-term vision about the moving towards the food and bioenergy company. If you can just throw some, you know, broad lights around those lines. Thank you so much.
So, Vikram, thanks for your question. Initial response to the staples range has been good. The market launch only started after Sankranti. So, I think it's too early to make deductions. Yeah. Question number two, I think the intent is to leverage the brand across other categories. Of course, sweetener is one category which we're present and well entrenched in. I think the natural extension was to, you know, get more share of the grocery basket and right. leverage the brand equity, and which is why the staples launch. And I think broadly over time, we are certainly with conviction aspiring to build build this business out out further. From the bioenergy side, I think we have invested significantly in the last 3 years on the biofuel segment. Of course, there have been some policy changes in recent times. But even if you notice this morning's newspaper, I think it was the Hindu Business Line, it talks of the Global Biofuels Alliance, and I think the PM has quoted the ethanol blending program. So we do believe that there is, I think, a good opportunity in this segment moving forward. So, of course, given these policy changes, I think we are also, you know, internally have regrouped, and we'll look at how we can be more flexible around feedstocks and product mix. Those are, you know, largely operational considerations. But I think we're quite positive that this is a, opportunity which will continue.
Hey, Tamil, you know, launch program over the other southern part of the Tamil Nadu. Any kind of...
The intent is to launch. So I think the distribution currently is in the southern states. The distribution which was built with the sweeteners business, that is a growing, it's a growing number. And it is intended that over time, in fact, over this year, the Staples launch will start extending into other states.
Right. Super. Thank you. All the best to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from Somnath Saha from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, I want to ask you regarding the refinery part, that after making losses in many quarters, EBIT from the business turned out positive for the second consecutive quarter. But if we adjust for interest, still we are making losses from the refinery, even when the top line is all-time high around 600 crore. So, sir, are you looking into it? How are you looking into it? Is there any possible restructuring, or we can see closure of the refinery? Because when you talk to people, mostly the future investors, everyone is concerned about the refinery. Because as present, the company is not valued only on its book value, but on the return ratios. So how to look ahead? Is there any possible restructuring, or how you are planning on that? That's my question.
thank you. Thank you very much for your question. As far as the refinery is concerned, we can answer this in two parts. On an operational basis, you can see that refinery has been turning around. The last two quarters have been profitable performance. Basically on account of three levers that what we have discussed earlier as part of our calls as well. One is in terms of the sales volume, the spreads going up in the international market because of the demand-supply situation, and our ability to upsell, which is more in the form of selling to end customers, institutions, and higher traction on account of container availability and container shipments out of our ports, and our continuous measures to fine-tune our cost structures. So that has given us results over the last couple of quarters, and we have to remain profitable, and we expect to continue this journey going forward. On the medium to long term front, I think we had also shared in the last discussions that there is a possibility of a strategic partnership which can add further value into the refinery in order to make this operation far more robust in terms of different market cycles and product cycles that come through in this industry. So that's where the efforts are on, and we hope that with the right strategic partner, we should be in a position to return value on the investment of the refinery.
Thank you, sir. Another question from the Brandish Sugar. As this is an interdependent business, are you planning to hire any key person specifically for the Brandish Sugar?
So thank you for your question. Yes, this is a different business. It's largely an FMCG business. The team which leads this business and operates this business is a team which has the relevant experience from the FMCG sector. So right from the leadership to the field force, it is a different team.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Chetan Phalke from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question is with respect to our foray into rice varieties. So bigger players like, let's say, KRBL, LT Foods, they are already present in basmati segment. And now even this Fortune and Patanjali, they are also getting into, they are also upping their game. So it's a hotly contested market. And these players are now getting into regional rice varieties as well. They are moving away from basmati and getting into, let's say, Sona Masuri, etc. So how are we, you know, planning to position ourselves against these incumbents who already have scale, sourcing? I mean, just trying to understand what is our thought process in taking on these players.
So thank you for your question. I think we've actually made a start more with you know, regional varieties. We have Ponni boiled rice and Ponni raw rice, which is obviously relevant to the Tamil Nadu market, wherein we have launched. And obviously, as we expand our base, we will work on more regional varieties as well. Basmati is also certainly on the cards. There are certainly large players in this segment. I think I already covered that we will leverage the trust and quality of the brand with the and leverage the brand equity with the consumers, you know, and bring them good quality products going forward. The segment is you know, it's under 30% branded, so there's a heavily unbranded segment in, say, and you specifically asked about rice. Rice is only about 25-30% branded, so 70% of the segment is unbranded. So I think one expertise which we have gained over the last half a decade in sweetener is branding the unbranded. The sweetener segment is only about 8-9% branded, and I think we you know, are significant in you know, in helping the consumer make that switch. So one expertise which we have got is branding the unbranded, and I think we aspire to bring that expertise to bear. And it's it goes to various elements of the marketing mix in this category to start tapping into that 70% unbranded segment and convert them to branded. So I think that's really where there is a headroom for growth. There are, of course, large players, no doubt. And I think it will be a mix of branding the unbranded and taking on, you know, some of these players in certain pockets. I think that's how we will see this business progress.
Okay, okay. So, sir, our positioning will be, I mean, our quality will be better than others. Is quality the positioning or our pricing will be at a premium to them? I mean, how are we, if you can just elaborate a little on the positioning of our this particular foreign regional rice variety, basmati per se?
I think the Parry brand has always stood for, you know, quality and trust. And I think that's what we will always aspire to deliver to the consumer. I think we will have to be widely distributed. I think we'll also have to be competitively priced because I think the Indian, you know, our market is a price is a very, very important consideration. I think as we have maybe value-added varieties or premium varieties at points in time in the future, we can look at premium pricing. But I think we'll have to be strong on quality and competitive on pricing. I think all of that is really where our brand equity lies.
Okay, okay. So are we looking at organic rice, etc. as well going forward?
I think those are probably fairly small segments. I think we will stick to the basics, focus on distribution, focus on the, you know, largely consumed variants and build our presence. I think value-added and organic, I think, you know, you need to set a base and a platform. The foundation is always important for any business. And I think that's what we aspire to do in the staple segment as well.
Okay, okay. And sir, my last question is on the supply chain with respect to this regional rice and basmati. So what kind of physical infrastructure will we need? Because I understand rice needs, basmati needs 12 to 18 months of aging. So do these regional varieties also need aging? So how do we, I mean, we need a physical infra for inventory, management or processing facilities, polishing facilities, etc. Are we planning to put them up as of now, or we are outsourcing it as of now?
So obviously we're making, I think it's an excellent question, we're making a start in this segment. So, you know, we are working with good partners. And I think we will rely on the knowledge and infrastructure of these partners to cover a lot of the ground that you are talking about. But in this segment, I think margin accretion can really come with scale, and it can also come, you know, with smart sourcing and building good partnerships on the supply chain front. So I think as we learn this business and build scale, I think we will be going deeper on the supply chain to build these partnerships. And I think when scale warrants it, you know, start, you know, bringing in some of this infrastructure into the mix captively. So I think we're just getting started. So this will have to evolve.
Okay, okay. And is there any difference between the aging timeline for a regional rice versus a basmati rice? I mean, is there anything like that?
I'll have to get back to you on that. I don't have that answer offhand.
Okay, and just one last question, sir. I mean, since we have other group companies who are engaged with farmers in some of the other capacity, can we benefit from our group linkage or direct connect with the farmers from that network with respect to procurement of rice? Because other players like KRB are distributing seeds to their network and then they procure that rice back. So are we, you know, looking at something like that? Can we benefit from our existing infrastructure of our sister concerns or parent group companies?
I think we certainly leverage the intergroup networks. I think in the case of rice, of course, the rice millers are an important element in the supply chain as well. But I think we certainly leverage the group's network.
Okay, okay. And at what scale we would put our own infrastructure at, let's say, ballpark at 10,000 tons, 20,000 tons, once we cross those kind of volumes, what are we looking at? Or anything on that front?
In terms of putting up our own infrastructure, I think we haven't, you know, Suresh, do you want to comment?
Yeah, I think the right infrastructure is more critical than deciding on versus outsourced. That depends on the economics. We will be focusing on the right type of quality infrastructure for the supply chain.
Okay, okay. That's it for my answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Falguni Datta from Mansarovar Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Am I audible? Yes, sir. I have a question on sugar. So what would be the cost of sugar production for this season ending September for us?
Cost of sugar? It will be around 34,000.
Okay. And sir, another question is on Kakinada refinery. So if you can share the profit for the quarter for our refinery operation?
As far as the PBT is concerned, it's at about 7 crores.
7 crores for the quarter?
Yes.
And sir, 9 months number?
The
76 crore, you mean?
76 crores, PBT is the loss, basically.
Oh, for 9 months?
Yeah.
And this quarter is 7 crore positive?
Yeah.
And sir, what is our total investment? This is the final question. What is our total investment in this?
Employee 583. As far as the EAD investment is concerned, about 583 crores, of which 100 crores we have taken impairment. As far as the EAD exposure is concerned, around 480 crores will be.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Mehta, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I just have three questions. firstly, what's the impact of change in ethanol procurement policy by the government on our financials?
This quarter, December quarter, 6 crore impact. 6 crore
okay,
negative
and
impact.
And what will it be for Q4?
I think we don't give guidance from a, you know, quarter on quarter perspective, but you know there will be a negative impact because there is a change in product mix and there's a change in feedstock permissibility. So to that extent, you know, product mix changes, capacity utilization levels also change. To that extent, there will be an impact. We don't talk about guidance, so you will see a negative impact.
Okay. So secondly, what's the expected amount of ethanol production from all our sources in FY24 and FY25? And what is the pricing of CAV ethanol?
As far as this, we will not do the C-heavy ethanol and we will not supply to OMC because that is not a profitable. As far as the ethanol and ENA combination is concerned, we will be producing around 3 to 3.5 crore liters in a Q4.
Okay, and within ethanol, can you give breakup of syrup-based and B-heavy production?
Syrup will not be there because that already government has restricted, we stopped the syrup production. So as far as the other balance is concerned, about 2 crore liters will be the combination between the grain and B-heavy.
Okay. And sir, lastly, in the last one to two years, how much has the overall sugar branded sugar market grown and how much has our premium sugar brand grown in the same time frame?
Our branded sugar volumes have been growing year on year about 30-odd percent. And at a YTD level, we have seen the same growth this year. In terms of the branded sugar market growing, it's perhaps probably about 9% of the overall. Maybe a year ago we haven't taken our data out yet. That's more industry level data. So probably the overall branded sugar market the percentage branded is about 9% now.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks a lot for all the clarifications. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Ritwik Sheth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, sir. Sir, a couple of questions from my end. Firstly, on the sugar business, this season we have been impacted by lower sales primarily due to exports and then impact on distillery volumes as well, coupled with increase in FIB prices. You know, assuming next year that the crop is close to normal, I know it's too early to take a call on next year's crop, but assuming that the crop reverts back to normal, Can this lead to this year's pain to next year's normalcy for us in the sugar business?
So, Ritwik, good question. You know, the sugarcane crop is a 10 to 12 month crop. So, planting is done and of course harvesting is done almost close to a year later. So, when you have a deficient monsoon, it impacts the... The year in which you have a deficient monsoon, it impacts yields at that point in time. And I think you're seeing that play out in Maharashtra and Karnataka. What it also does is it impacts planting because sugarcane is a water-intensive crop. It also impacts planting from a subsequent planting for the next year's harvest. So to that extent, I think the industry will face some elements of that challenge. We're starting to hear and read about news of a normal monsoon in later this year, calendar year 24. And I think if there is a more normal monsoon with you know less disparate rainfall, that augurs well for crop getting planted later this year. So I think I've answered your question in a bit of detail and This is the reality.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so on the sugarcane cost, you mentioned that current year it was close to 35-40 rupees versus last year 3060. So, you know, that is a significant increase, and with no increase in MSP for sugar, do you think there is a case for increase in MSP for the industry, because the economics currently for us and most players, you know, is gone on the lower end compared to last few years. So, wanted to hear your thoughts on FRP and MSP as well, the mismatch in the last couple of years.
Yeah, the case for MSP increase has always been there. Only thing is, it is not being heard at the right forums. So it is very, very important for the business, sugar industry at large, to have a price of the sugar in line with the increase in the prices of the FRP. FRP price increases have been there for quite some time, and sugar increase, price increase is not happening, and somehow or other gets the price gets mitigated, or increase gets mitigated in terms of release quota or some other mechanisms. So unless you get a fair link of the increase in price of sugar with respect to the increase in FRP, it is going to be a challenging time for the sugar industry as well.
So to compensate this increase in FRP we have seen, would a 2 rupees be good for the increase in FRP, or we would need higher than 2 rupees per kg?
No, see, Ritvik, I think as Suresh said, there's been really no official increase from the MSP side. But, you know, I think where the policymakers come in is, you know, permissibility around exports, obviously regulating diversion to the biofuel program, and thereby ensuring volumes and ensuring a certain level of pricing and food security for the domestic market. So, you know, I guess it's largely playing on market forces. Now, I mean, we have, you know, there's so much production, so much consumption. So, I don't know how relevant MSP is. I mean, everyone, if we all had to sell at MSP, we'd be selling at much lower than what we're selling at right now. So, I think there is some element of market forces at play here, and that's where current pricing lands. And there is a balance maintained every year in terms of a closing stock. Now, perhaps you know, the industry would always believe that maybe the changes to the ethanol policy could have been thought through a little differently, because, you know, you're still going to end up with a reasonably healthy closing stock by the looks of it, a higher stock in fact than last year. Again, I guess these are the elements where the policymakers come in and exercise you know, their levels of control. So I think that's rather than MSP, I think the conversation is on how better to regulate the market dynamics, if you understand what I'm saying. Because MSP, right, and where the market pricing is right now is completely irrelevant. I think the elements and levers are different and they need to be understood.
Okay, got it. And sir, one last question. You know, last quarter, couple of quarters ago, you mentioned about the strategic partnership, and someone asked earlier in the call as well. So any timeline you would like to give us on the strategic partnership for refinery and Nutra? Any timeline that we have internally decided that we would like to share?
None, you know, at no specific updates this week at this point in time. I think the strategic review continues at our end, and I think at the appropriate time, when we have information, we will convey it.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from Falguni Datta from Mansarovar Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. How are the current sugar prices for us?
The average realization for the quarter will be around 39 rupees. Yeah.
And I think the season will come.
For the quarter, meaning you mean to say for Q4?
Q3. We are at Q3.
No, I meant that how are the realizations now as we speak?
That's what the current quarter, it's the 39 rupees is the average realization.
Yeah, but in February, mid-February now currently, how are they is what I was asking.
There is a future outlook that we will...
not sir, outlook. Let's say for yesterday, day before, how were the prices is what I'm asking.
Yeah, so slightly lower than that. Your crushing is going on. Typically when the crushing season is ongoing, your pricing is a little bit lower. You'll expect pricing to rise once the crushing season closes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my end.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Well, that was the last question. As there are no further questions, I'd like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
Thank you all for being on this call today. I know these are challenging times for the industry, but I think we have, with conviction, are working towards how best we can, you know, progress our different segments of business. We look forward to connecting with all of you at the end of this financial year in the next quarter. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.